us through this. Okay. Sounds great. So, thanks everybody. Hope you've had a chance to read through the master plan and you understand it perfectly. You know? But we'll go through it anyway. So you can go ahead and just go to the next slide, I guess. Really, this is this report. I guess you can go, you can leave it there. But this report covers a whole lot of different kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, types of reports, kind of all into one. So one of it is it's a master plan for the city. One of the main focuses of it. But it's also a user rate analysis to help do an analysis of if existing user rates are sufficient to cover costs of the system. It's an impact fee analysis and impact fee facilities plan. And also what it did is, and the reason that the district contributed, the water district contributed this project is it was a feasibility study. It's actually what led to the pond project coming to life. So we did a lot of the study and initial analysis of that project as part of the study. We're not going to really go into much of those details here. That was really more for the district's needs there, just to see where in Leverkin, if there was anywhere to put a pond. Obviously, we found a spot, and that project's going forward, hopefully out to construction in the near future. So what I want to show here is this is just a snapshot of the system. So on the top here, we have the city's water rights. These are all irrigation water rights out of the Virgin River. There's three different rights with a quantity of water. So it totals about 2,640 acre feet.
Well, and just yes. As heads up, I just got an email. I passed it on to the mayor. That water right is going to change. The total amount is going to stay the same, but that, I can't read it, that bottom 81, 2,481, I think is down to 9.83 acre feet, and then the other one increased.
So the bottom number staying the same, but they switched them around?
Same. I just thought that. It just came to me today. Did you look through it?
Is that part of the water right change application?
Yes. And they're That's just updating it and making it accurate. So anyway, our water right stays the same. But
so it doesn't affect anything, but no. Okay. If you actually have that, because we haven't finalized this, so before it goes to adopt it, we can get that corrected.
So is the fact that 2,481 is industrial as opposed to irrigation, is that going to have some kind of a play in?
I have no idea.
It should, because we're actually in the process of changing all three of those right now to municipal. There's a change application in the state for all three of these to be changed to municipal instead of irrigation industrial. So, and that's all part of that surplus and exchange agreement with the district to allow it to be stored in the
That dispute is the test site water. That's where it's all.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's that. And then, as you know, there's the irrigation system was once held by an irrigation company that the city purchased. And as part of that irrigation company, there were 600 shares when that went into place. And so when the city bought that over, the existing shareholders of that company were given delivery contracts equivalenting 600 of those shares. And so there are 442 contract holders, but people have partial contracts.
There's 292 contract holders that hold.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, sorry, there's 441 equivalent shares. Yeah. That's what baseball. Yeah. So with that, so of the city's 2,640 acre feet of available water, they do have there's kind of an annual duty or obligation that 1,944 of that acre feet would be to contract holders if every contract holder used their full allotted amount. And with the way that's broken up is each equivalent share for those contract holders is one share is 4.4 acre feet of water annually. Go to the next slide. This is just a snapshot of how that's broken out. So we have the contract holders and then the lessees. So on the contract holders, there's the share equivalencies held by each contract holder. So there's 223 contract holders that have one or less shares or less than one share, 25 that have one to two, so on and so forth. So you see 77% of all the contract holders have one or less share equivalents. And then with leases, we have 808 leasee connections currently in the town, or in the city, sorry, with 292 connections that are made that are just standby right now, meaning that they're not actively using water, but they have a connection. Go to the next one. So this is how the water is broken out by usage for each person, or each type. So on the table and in the graph, what we see is the average leasee user. Now this isn't exact because we don't have meters. Obviously we do have some data, and we've been able to work with Derek and his team to pinpoint some areas and usages and based on lot sizes and the district's studies they've done of how much an average household in St. George uses for outdoor watering. We're able to determine that the average leasee user uses approximately 554 gallons per day per connection, whereas the average contract holder is just over 6,000 gallons a day. Part of that crazy high number is it's an average, so there's only 290 users, so that takes into account, you know, the people that have the big agricultural fields that are using thousands, you know, probably 20,000 gallons in a day, and then there's, you know, other ones that are just have their house that are, you know, using basically the same amount as a leasee. And then just the other one on that table is coming to account later is a high efficiency users. So this is for all future connections that come onto the city or some that have come recently. This is based on the water district's new standards for outdoor water usage for new houses. So they will come in and be using about half as much as what a standard residential user, existing user uses. And very likely will actually even be less as the district's looking to even refine that down further. Next. So this is kind of a complicated chart. So I'm trying to walk through it. I'm going to stand up and point this one out. So what we have is this green line is the city's water rights. So this is your 24 or 2640 water right number. And then what we have here in red is the total demand based on current and past usages. Basically saying this is over your projected demand of how much water you're going to use. And so the inverse of that is here's your surplus. So this is basically that same gap. So you have historically the last several years have been between 700 and 1,000 acre feet a year of water that has not been used by the city. And then we have a blue line here, which we talked about, and the city and the staffs that analyzed that the distribution system's got some leaks and old pipe that we're looking like we have around 200 acre feet of water that's just going in the ground to no one's benefit. And so if we were to, or I should say when that project that we're just started here a couple weeks ago, once that gets done, the anticipation is that this blue line would then jump up to an extra almost 200 acre feet. And then what we have here on this black, and then the blue is the black's going to be growth. So as we get new connections coming onto the city, which you can see, what's the interesting thing is we get new connections coming on, we'll see a slight increase in demand with new connections. But unlike your water system, usually when you see a graph like this, your water demand is going to be pretty much identical. You're going to have the same kind of growth. With irrigation, however, generally speaking, when you have a development goes in, it develops over a farmer's field or an agricultural piece that was being irrigated. So when it comes to irrigation water, generally speaking, you have something that was being 100% used for irrigation to now being a very, very small percentage, especially now with the high efficiency houses that are going in. And so that's why we see still a pretty good increase of growth for the city with a very slight increase over time growth in here. And then what we are assuming here, this is an assumption based on just available data and the projections, is about 2038 will be where all of like the standby connections come online with better water. We're assuming all the standbys come on. Anywhere that doesn't currently have a connection gets a connection, and we've developed the areas that are not the big fields. So it's kind of the worst case scenario. I shouldn't say worst case, but the highest
use
demand. Yeah, the period we're expecting the most demand of irrigation in the city. And then from that point going forward, all future growth would be replacing agriculture, and then you'd start seeing a reduction in usage over time, long term, because we'd be swapping irrigation for culinary water, essentially.
So the light blue line is the usage as over time is going
to
go down.
So this is the number of delivery contract holders, because the assumption there is contract holders that are, you know, using their fields, when they develop it, have nowhere to put that water, would be selling it off back to the city, trying to get some recoup on the costs that way as well, so they're not holding on to and paying for fees that they're not using. So that's what this chart is showing. It's just the biggest thing is, and that's why this 2038 surplus is here. Kind of what we're assuming is the worst, you know, demand year, and then from there, your surplus is projected to slowly increase over time. Is there any questions on that actually before I sit down? Okay, go to the next slide, Paul. So with this being a master plan, we talked about one of the main things a master plan does is analyzes the needs for the system. What are the recommended improvements to get the system up to where the city wants it, make sure it's ready for future growth, all of that. With the city's irrigation system and the approach with this being a feasibility with the water district, it's kind of actually unique when it comes to recommended improvements. Because normally we'd have, say, okay, by this year you need to have this piece of pipe replaced and upsized and or get new pipe here. With the work of the water district and the pond and pipeline project for the reuse pond and the surplus agreement, the district's agreed to replace the entire system, more or less. Everything that's the aged pipe that has backlot fed connections is all being replaced, which is that is the list of all the improvements for this year, basically. So those first four projects, we have the pond and pipeline, we have some transmission line improvements, which is on the northwest side of the city. It'd be new pipeline, and the purpose of that is to make sure, so when we build the pond, the water system is being flipped. So normally, for right now, it operates from the south to the north. So all our pipe sizes are big on the south and get smaller as we go north. But then we're putting all the source on the north side. Now we have all the small pipe up there and big pipe. So what it is we got to get some bigger transmission lines on the north side of town to make sure no one's negatively impacted by the project. Because as of right now, if we don't get those transmission lines in, there'll be some people in the city that see actually a reduction in pressure just because of the small pipelines feeding them. So that project will clean that up, and then so there's the in-town replacements, and then replacing the 100 East transmission line, which is old pit pipe, getting it all up to current industry standards. And as you see on the year of installation, this is all anticipated happening this year with that secondary irrigation project. So as far as, go ahead, Darren.
No, I was just going to say, we didn't, or did we, the dollar amount, the $7 million for the pond and pipeline, did we have to?
That's the district, isn't it?
I know that, but did we sign a deal for that, or have we seen that?
I think that's their project altogether.
It is.
It has nothing to do.
So we didn't have to worry about it?
No.
Yeah, so the project they signed with the surplus was $13.6
million. Yeah, I saw that.
And so then there's that $7.3 million on there also includes the actual dam and the pipeline.
It was also part of the reuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's the district contributing to that as well as that 13. So
that's cool.
So yeah, it's about $21 million of project can be installed essentially in the next year and a half, 2 years for the city. And so beyond that, we don't really have any recommended improvements now because the city's kind of getting a, almost a clean slate as it is. We are recommending that this gets updated, the plan gets updated in 5 years. And the biggest thing with that update is probably just going to be looking at user rates and budgets, especially after getting the pump station up and operating for a couple of years, seeing what it takes to maintain that. After these projects go in, see if there's, you know, there's going to be about a quarter or half of the city that doesn't get replaced because it's newer pipe or it's front lot. So start to identify when those projects need to be replaced long term and things like that.
Well, when all of these monies came about after this plan was written, so all of the fees that are outlined in this were meant to pay this cost. Is that what? Yeah.
Yeah. So that agreement was where we worked that in conjunction with this study. Yeah. So they went side by side.
So as we get this project started, have we decided how we're going to help people get water to their backyard, and now it's going to be in the front yard?
I think isn't that the
So inline replacements are going to be moving.
Well,
from
so
the
it moves the connection point to the front, but I think what Darren or Kinsman Priest is talking about is getting like people's actual irrigation systems in their house going from the back to the front. Because when this project's done, they're going to have a connection to the front, but there's no their irrigation's not.
I got an old cranky neighbor, and he's really upset, and he calls me every day. He's my dad.
That's your dad.
We're going to have to cut through my concrete. I'm not paying for that. You got one of them, too?
What did we do on the west side development out there project where we replaced that line that was behind the people's houses and put it down the street?
You're talking like 470.
Yeah.
We actually, that back line is still alive. Even though they're being fed from the front, we haven't made that transition over. So we can shut the back line off. That's the one that backs off the front, or the back side of 560 West. But hadn't you talked on this one of potentially the city paying for the materials and then the citizen could figure out how to get it to the back? Like, we're going to leave a mistake, I'm imagining, for them to put wherever in their yard best suits them to be able to get to the back, right? Because normally our standard is within 3 feet of the culinary water meter, one side or the other. But because they may have obstacles, concrete, we're going to stake it. And then
that's where the connection will be get put.
Yeah. And then I would imagine probably the best thing to do, because we really can figure out an amount to put with it, is have the city purchase the material cost and then have them figure out how to get to the back.
So are you just having like one-inch pipes or to run to the back to the
I'd run a one-inch.
Connection.
Mm-hmm. You're coming in through a one-inch yoke and then coming out on their side would reduce down to a three-quarter, but you could do the one-inch connection all the way through to carry the volume to the back. And
that's what we did when we put in, when we got our irrigation, we put the one-inch to the junction box and then did three-quarter off that.
Yeah. So I guess I'll still kind of under.
Yeah, it's one of those still gets to be determined.
I think Darren should just pay for it.
I'm going to buy one of those. Have you seen those augers that go under the ground?
Make a lot those of are, those that would be that'd be fun. I saw one go through a 12-inch water main the other day, and I don't think they made a lot of money that day.
Those are all fun and games until you hit your sewer line coming
at you. Hit the fiber line.
Well, I know in Leverkin there's pipes everywhere, and half of them you don't know what they're doing. Like, wait, is that even hooked up to anything?
Yeah, I think they had an old cast line when they did mine under the road.
Really?
Because there was nothing, and I don't know how many, do you know how many on 100 East are on the west side of that, there's still a lot that don't have water?
I don't know how many don't, but when I lived up on that side of the hill, we helped put some people's water lines across the street.
There are a lot of water lines across 100 East.
There's what?
There's a lot of water lines on the east side.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
I mean, our pipes on the west side right of 100 East. There's a lot of people that came up with 3-inch lines and branched out.
Yeah, because that main line, that 15-inch line, is what we had to tap into to bring it across.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of curious how many people were in the same kind of situation.
I know down kind of where you live, there is a bigger line that comes across and then runs kind of north and south on the east side of the street.
Okay.
And I've connected into it.
I guess it really answers the question is hasn't been discussed yet.
To be determined.
I think we've talked. I mean, when the project, the way we're approaching that project is to leave those back lots on. So we'll be completely, the project will be completed. There'll be connections, but the lines behind the lots will still be live so that the city can then determine, give a date saying, okay, those are going to be turned off this day. You have to tell them to make the connection, or we're providing X till then, or however the city decides to do that.
Is it, refresh my memory, is it set up with the Water Conservancy District that if we save money, we still have access to that extra money we save for things like this?
Yeah, if we get through it, I mean, yeah, you basically the way that is, it's a blank check for irrigation improvements in Leverk. So as long as we can justify it as an irrigation improvement.
Whitaker's going to come in pretty cheap, so we'll get save money.
And Schultzens, I figured, right?
Schultzens, yeah.
Gas prices. How long? What's the time frame for the transmission line? Fiber Beach transmission line.
Hoping to be out to bid in the ideal world, we'll be out to bid in
September,
and construction start November.
But when you actually replace it, are you looking at replacing it over the winter, or
it'll be? We haven't got to how that's going to be phased yet.
Okay.
So it's going to be, I mean, the project's going to take at least a year to really do. So we'll be working with whatever contractor ends up getting it and doing the design to see how things are phased and what ways.
I'm just curious, loss of water time, you know, kind of thing.
Shouldn't be too bad a loss of water, hopefully. We're able to use it with the pond. Pond will be active by that point, so.
Well, especially if you're keeping it hot on the bag, then probably don't have hardly any. I thought you would be cutting those out.
The intent is not to have the contractor go in the backyards at all. We'll do all the work within the city right away.
Yeah, I was just curious whether they have to use culinary for some period of time or something.
The idea will be to mitigate it so that any construction will be done during like pieces, so that no one's shut off for more than a couple of days.
Okay.
Will be the intent. Whether we're able to actually do that or not, we'll have to see. But that'll be the.
There'll be some pains.
There'll be pains.
Construction project.
God,
we do it
and not cut anybody off.
Good luck with that. What happens is you do one extra shovel, and then you ruin the whole town.
That's
pretty bad.
Man, stop. You do one more.
I mean, with that pit python 100 east, that's about how it'll go. Yeah. Well, actually, luckily now, that's not the lifeblood after the pond's in. But right now, if that's your digging, you ruin a lot of pressure if that line went out. Anyway, anything else on any other questions or comments on the costs of the projects? Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so that really is how we get to the master plan side of things. So we take that, move it into the finances of it, and I guess let's hope we see how this big. Can anyone actually read that? If not, we can go out and open
what page is it on?
We don't have this on a page. This is kind of a summary of a lot of pages. I'll have Paul bring up the PDF. You can see that? Okay. I'm going to say, if Derek can read it and the rest of us are blind.
Paul, let me go get my glasses.
I can see.
Paul got a PDF that we can pull up.
I can read that, but I can't.
Why was the 175%? How did you come to that?
The 175%?
Yeah, for the contract assessment fee.
But I can read that good.
Everything else was 88%, and I was kind of curious.
I have to walk through that.
I'm driving, especially at night. I have to have my glasses on.
Oh, I see. So what we have here is there's on the left, we have the existing rate structure, how that's set up with lessees and contract holders. So lessees and contract holders are billed very differently. So lessees are billed on a monthly basis based on their lot size, where contract holders are billed either annually or biannually. based on the number of contracts they hold. And then there's an annual assessment fee, and then there's just the annual or biennial fee based on how many they have, right? The left there.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, do you want me to chime in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sir. So the first share equivalent is, every share equivalent is $25.45 a year. You pay the first one up front one time, and then for each one thereafter, you pay twice a year, half of the price. So that's what that's saying up there.
So, no, I got it. So basically we get at, so existing, the average lessee pays $13 a month or $117 a year, where the contract holders pay an average on annual of $89 a year, and the city generates $94,000, or $94,500 from lessees and $26,000 from contract holders. And if you can scroll down to the bottom of the page, we get to where, if we look at the city's budget, and actually currently the irrigation system is supplemented or subsidized, which is a better word, from the general fund. So the irrigation on its own does not generate enough revenue to even fund itself.
And we've been told that by our accountant and our auditor for 2 years in a row now, but just tell them it is what it is. I mean.
Right. And so one of the desires here was to see if there's a rate we can be able to get that so the irrigation is self-sufficient, and also make sure we are covering costs to handle the pump station that's coming online and what the associate O&M costs from that. But with that, if we were to get those costs, the irrigation budget at its current rate would be short about $120,000 a year. And so what that requires is an increase to user rates to, I think it was $21.90 was the total across the board
for the $22.
Yeah, basically $22 across the board. So every connection in the city on average paying $22 a month would make that happen. So what we did is we worked with staff to come up with a method that would increase that, or get basically target that $22. Because really, once you have a target, there's infinite number of ways to do that. I mean, we could have just made Kyle pay everybody's difference, and no one else went up, but he didn't volunteer. So what we came up with is just doing an increase to both contract holders and lessees. And actually, Paul, I'll let you kind of describe the method of that madness.
Sure. So we wanted to keep the same structure that people are already being billed at, which we had before the $25 per share equivalent. And so we found if we just kind of blanket increased the prices for the usage across the board to 88%, then that would make the share equivalent cost $47.94, and then you continue to pay, the delivery contract holders would continue to pay the two installments of half that cost for any above one share equivalent. And then similarly, if you just increase the user rate for VCs by 88%, I'll get to what we come out to at the end. Then that we'll get to the target number. It did require a slightly higher adjustment to the, like John was asking, the assessment fee. Because contract holders they have an annual assessment. I think right now it's $50.89 if you hold contracts that for administration processing. So we'd have to increase that to 140, which is a larger step increase, but that helped to make up the difference there, and it also helped to balance out the average cost between lease users and contract holders. So using that approach, obviously the costs go up by 88% for lease users, so the average lease usage cost is $24.53, and annually that's $220, and for contract holders, it's a little bit cheaper, it's $212 on the year. for the average contract holder, which the average contract holder has 1.5 share equivalents. So some people have more, some people have less, but on average, that's what that worked out to. And doing that allows us to cover the projected cost next year on next year's budget. The other interesting thing is when you pair this with the projections of people selling the delivery contracts back and gaining more lease users, that the lease users will pay the same amount no matter what. It's just based on lot size. So they'll be assessed the same fees. So even if we get the high efficient usage users, they'll be, you know, billed the same for the area. And they pay slightly more per month than contract holders. So as we lose contract holders, we're not necessarily losing revenue for the city, but it's very, very close. They're almost at parity there. So that's kind of the general approach. Do you have any questions about that?
Just like, so when you're looking at the under half acre on the leases, the under half acre to half acre to, you know, 1 acre and then above 1 acre, it's not, doesn't look like it's kind of an even ratio going across. Like 1272, you figure if you have, you know, more than 1 acre, if you have someone that has 5 acres, wouldn't it make more sense to do it, you know, instead of over 1 acre, do, you know, over 2 acres, over 3 acres, and have an more even ratio?
So you're saying, because like right now we just took, so it's 88% for all trees.
Yeah.
You're saying maybe the under half an acre was 50% increase, the 1 acre was, or one, yeah, half to one would be 100% increase, and then over an acre would be like 150% increase?
Yeah, or expanding the rate of pay, I guess. So basically, like someone has 5 acres of land is paying the same as someone that has 1 acre of land, or
yeah,
an acre and a half. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Could look into that. So one thing about that is because there's so few of them,
yeah,
that's not going to move the needle much.
That's true.
Yeah, all of those rates were established by the old agreement, the old exchange agreement with the canal company. They set a premium rate or a Schedule 1 rate or whatever you want to call it. That's what equivocated that monthly rate to the annual rate for contract holders. That's why that's expressed that way.
Okay.
I think that's how
yeah,
you understand it.
The same.
Yeah, we just got
yeah. And I don't know if there was any language about, you know, share equivalent lease fees or any of that, you know. But it was meant to reward the contract holders by establishing that lower rate.
There's clauses.
In fact, that's in the code, in the city code.
There's a clause in those contracts that the city has the right to increase the fees as needed as long as it goes through the proper processes of the public.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the agreement. I just don't know that it's that specific, but we'll see. I'll look at the numbers and let you know.
There any other questions? Comments?
You're trying to get us burned at the stake?
Well, I guess let me talk about that. Actually, that is a good question, because I had a lot of conversations with the mayor and Derek before we even came here because of that, because of the water rate increase. One conversation that was brought up and an idea with these is waiting to implement any of these, maybe adopting it. Which would be my recommendation would be to adopt it now, but postpone any increase till after the pond project's completed. That way there is, on a public side, some
intangible,
you know, quality of improvement with that cost increase. Because we'll be getting better water with that project.
But that would be on the rate?
Yes.
On the
rate? On the rate.
Yeah, on the rate.
But we would want to look at...
Yeah, we'll get there.
Well, then you could end up with a...
I got you.
Yeah, you could end up with a significant surplus also.
You could. I doubt it, but you could.
Yeah. Because if you got a brand new system, then all of those functions, maintenance...
That's true, yes.
...are all going to go down. I mean, you're not going to have brakes like we had brakes. You're not going to have replacement in a new system.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Again...
Expenditures should go down with the system as far as maintenance and stuff.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you're establishing these rates... you're likely to have a significant surplus.
But you will,
but you got the pumping costs that are going to be figured in there too. So you got
those pumping costs in. We have never been able to put anything inside for replacement of future stuff, and that's the state anymore is requiring that. And can you go get any grants
we got to be able to show them that we're setting money aside for future repairs or replacement.
Yep. And that is actually goes back to our recommendation. This gets updated in 5 years after you have a, or less. So we say it, no more than 5 years. Usually it's as a significant change occurs or there's a reason for one, or at least 5 years, because then it gives the city a chance to go and look, okay, are we getting a big surplus? Could rates actually be lower? Doesn't happen very often, but rates can be lowered and have been.
Well, and what you're projecting, now is that every year under the new rates, you're going to bring in 241, 136 is what you're saying.
Right.
So you're going to bring in $250,000 every year.
But we're projecting to spend $250,000 every year.
In what ways though? And that's I don't think that's is explained as I, I don't understand exactly what we're going to be spending 241 on every year. Okay. Now I understand we may be setting some of that aside. But what is it, what's our current expenditures?
Right now, I can tell you what the expenditures are offhand. But right now the general fund supplements it.
I understand that.
And so that would hopefully go away.
Yeah.
And in the form like the wages and salaries that we take out of the irrigation fund are far lower than what they should be based on what actual manpower is put towards this.
I have them right here. So right now, $133,000 based on fiscal year 26 was in the budget. $133,000 for salaries. There's $21,000 for repairs, which doesn't actually get very far. I think with some of the repairs we've been doing. $11,000 for just miscellaneous equipment for office materials.
Okay, but the manpower is basically based on repairs.
Well, no. So no. The way the city operates is some of their salaries come out of the different.
Yeah, the way it works in there, we take a percentage from every fund, and it doesn't pay its way as far as salaries go. So that gets absorbed into the general fund, and then so the general fund pays his crew members and others a higher percentage than it probably should based on where they're actually working.
Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about that at some point.
And then, there's also $11,000 that's going to an old bond. And then we're assuming about $50,000, the bond for the filter station.
The filter station that is going to go offline and it's worthless, but
we still got to pay it.
I don't think the state will let us not pay it back. But it's 0% interest, so we got about 10 more years on that, I think.
And then the booster pump, we're assuming based on the pumping rates and power as of right now, would be around $50,000 a year. For maintenance on that. So that's how that breaks out right now. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Next one's just impact fees. This is where it also gets interesting with this master plan because of the dynamic with the district paying for this project and getting basically a whole new system next year. There are no improvements after next year. So the way impact fees are set by law, they can only pay for improvements that are caused by growth. And right now we're saying, well, growth doesn't cause new improvements for irrigation. There's no upcoming projects. So really we don't have anything to put impact fees towards. So right now this is what we're charging for, the city's charging for impact fees, and it's collecting, and the way the law states is, you collect impact fee, the day you collect an impact fee, the city has 6 years to spend that money on an approved project that's impact fee eligible and on the city's impact fee facilities plan.
Will all of these just go away then, all the impact fees? Or?
So, almost. So, we don't have projects, but the one thing that the impact fee law does say is you can do studies. Those are impact fee eligible. So updating this plan is impact fee eligible.
So those are the two costs that are in the master plan.
Yeah, so basically we can pay for this plan to be re-updated out of impact fee. So we're, based on that study, the max allowable impact fee per connection that the city will be able to charge is $242 mm-hmm. per new connection, per an equivalent, like one ERU, so a one-inch connection. So with that, we can, that can be increased based on size. Like do the culinary water meter, so 2 inches has a proportion of area to get up to the different sizes. And what this also does, currently the city does not charge an impact fee for irrigation to commercial connections, so no commercial connections. Like when the hot springs came in, they did not pay an irrigation impact fee.
Why not? Why didn't they?
It was
back when they didn't have it, so they could try and entice commercial businesses and stuff to come into town. We validated that, but that was
a few decades ago.
Gotcha.
Well, that's why this is so important, that by adopting it and then holding off on the rate increase, and I'll shut up after this, and adopting at least the impact study, the residential impact can drop immensely, but the commercial will start paying his part. It's the same thing with the drainage.
Yeah, we had a commercial similar drainage.
Either, and they're probably the biggest.
And they're the biggest, usually, those big parking lots commit or contribute more drains than anyone. Like they move the parking lot out there with the hot springs. And it's asphalt, it doesn't soak in very well.
And so with this project, we had to go, to get this study, we had to go to CIB and get some grant money to complete it. But with this impact fee in the 5-year window, with the same assumptions on growth, we get enough connections, the city would be able to just pay this project outright, not have to seek any funding when the time came.
So that's the schedule right there for the proposed impact fees?
Yep.
And the commercial is worth?
Commercial would be, so this is just based on connection size, period.
Okay.
Whether you're residential or commercial, and that's actually the generally the standard way to do it.
Okay.
Because your commercial connections are the
generally 4 to 6 or something.
Yeah, or at least 2. Irrigation sizes they might not be, but this way it doesn't matter what type of zone it is, it's if they get an irrigation connection they pay an impact fee. So you're just across the board the same.
Okay.
And that's all I have for that. If there's any other questions or anything else in the report I didn't cover that you guys had questions on, or if there's any comments or things I need to revise before it comes back to the council for adoption.
Not that I can think of now, but I still have to absorb everything.
Yeah, I don't know that we have to set the rates as high as we do. I think there could be some lowering of the rates, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean that's double for even my little quarter acre property. And I'm like,
and that's all your guys' decision. I mean, we're just on the engineering side says here's where the math says.
Yeah, all the numbers.
So we'll bring this to the council. We'll need to set a public hearing for it, and then we'll need to adopt it. Yes or no? So. Probably do that in the next in February.
I'd like if we have a public hearing, if we could get one session in between, take the public hearing, not make a decision that evening.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Again, you can adopt it and just not put it in effect until you decide
right. The
date. You can set the date after.
And that when we adopt it, I think we could do that. It's just we'll set the date when the rates go in, but impact fees and stuff could go in effect now. There's a 90-day period anyway before they go into effect. So
yeah, I don't mind breaking it up like that.
You know, we always get complaints about communication. With the water thing was so hard afterwards when people found out and they screamed at us. And it would be so nice if we maybe got you guys together and made a video. And you showed some of these numbers, and you showed the deficit, and you showed what we've been doing, so people could watch that video. We could post it on our website or on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And just show citizens, like, look, we've had a $118,000 deficit. That's how we've been operating. Or, you know.
I think the key is to get as much education out there as you can.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, you're still going to have people that say, I didn't know.
But it would be a lot easier. It'd be a lot easier if there was a video that explained it and to say, hey, did you watch the video?
Well, on the water rates, we did that. Didn't have a video, but we had a presentation that went on the Facebook. before it happened.
Nobody looked at it.
Yeah.
Only thing on Facebook, Steve, was we didn't look at it.
I see people on Facebook, well, I didn't see it. I'm like, well, you're on Facebook every day. Like, I see you liking all these posts in the Berkeley community, but you didn't see this one particular one. So, yeah, people only see what they want to see sometimes.
Exactly. Well, it wasn't, when was the last time we raised the secondary? Was it, we went from, what, 9 to 13 or whatever. Was that 6-8 years back?
No, it's been longer than that. It's been over, it's been close to 20 years.
What is it?
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be.
We had one increase, I think.
Part of that video was I was saying that.
Because we had it at 9-something, I think, and then it went to 13 where it is now.
I think we raised it by like a dollar every year.
Oh, it could have been when the city bought the station company.
It would be such a drastic.
Okay.
We would never have hit this because we would have raised it by the last 20 years. So we paid for it.
Yeah.
Same with the city.
2000 what?
Nine. They never collected money, and then all of a sudden we got a raise.
Yeah, because I thought there was a time where we went from like $9 to 13.
That's why you want
to
put it in.
I'm trying to figure out when that was. I was here, so.
So that would have been the irrigation company, not the city.
They should have helped.
No, the city in question.
2010, that's
when you have to do it, something
like that. Right.
I think, John, but I think we have raised it one time. I don't know exactly when.
I was here, so it was after the company was sold, and I think it was after the 210.
Seems to me like it was around 210 or 211 when that sound.
Yeah, because it went from 9 to 13. I think that's what it was.
It was a dollar or two that went up. But
yeah.
Well, after the city, the culinary rates, and then this.
Well, that's my concern also. You know, We've already whacked them once for the culinary water, and now we're coming back for. And it's not an insignificant amount. It's,
no.
You know, basically doubling their water rate.
Well, we've got a free election.
Got it. We're good, John.
That's why I think we can do some of that.
People to forget.
You know, it may help people understand it a little bit more.
I think the more, like you said, the more education you get out there to the people is that so that they understand that we have a deficit. Mm-hmm. We got to come up with some money to cover that. There's going to be increased cost of pumping now that we're coming out of a pond. But, yes, we're going to have a new system, and probably the maintenance and repairs is going to go down, but you still have to cover the city crews for their portion of that. So
the big thing of letting it go until after you have that, where you can justify saying, look, we got this better water for you too. That's going to be big. For any of you who fought the irrigation here.
Well, there was a handful of times last summer where people went, whose irrigation water's off? Oh, it's all muddy. And yes, I think if we don't have those issues, it's going to go a lot further.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to help a lot.
Yeah, and then just people who don't even use it now because it's just too...
Well, there are a lot of people that do that don't.
Pay
and I was one of them. I didn't do it because I didn't want to fight the dirty water. And I know there are a lot of others that are the same.
Yeah, we planned our irrigation system around having the muddy water. Yeah. Like, we put in our own filter system and everything.
Moving from Tocqueville was a big change for us because in Tocqueville,
we're using drinking water.
Yeah,
I know. It was so clean over there out of those springs that, man, it was nice. Then I came over here, it's like, my house is all brown.
We're still going to have some dirty water, but it's not going to be anything.
All the heavy stuff will be settled out.
Yeah.
It'll be mixed with some reuse water, so. It'll be cleaner in some ways. And
cleaner, and that will poop and pee.
Fertilizer.
Yeah, good for your grass will be a little greener.
At least you're getting up and drink that water right off the bat.
It's making them stronger.
Right? Doesn't need it. That explains itself.
probably
we could set, maybe next council meeting we'll set a public hearing date. For the end.
Get some public input, and then at that point,
public hearing date on set that for second meeting in February, and then we could take another and wait till the end of March and pass it.
I think that sounds good.
That's going to put the impact fee off another couple months, and if we don't put the rate increase into effect until we get on the pond, I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah,
another year at least.
And hopefully by then your pond project's actually underway, so if you're looking
Because you're going to see it. Well,
at the end of the day, you're going, you'll have something else to raise. That's poor taxpayers, I'm telling you.
In this pond, is that kind of like a reservoir where there's going to be like fish?
No. It's going to be a non-recreational. I mean, there'll be a walking
walk
path. You can walk around.
But Zach said they do have a project planned for over here. Where's that at?
Yeah, so on the corner of 740 and State Street, there's going to be a demonstration facility and like a mini version of the botanical gardens, where they're going to use the reuse water to water different plants and stuff.
I thought they were going to be able to use it to see what kind of plants you want to plant in your yard and that kind of thing. I don't know if you've been to the one at Water Conservancy District. Right?
I haven't toured that yet.
It's awesome.
I'm supposed to the day that we got pouring rain and everything else, and they end up canceling the meeting.
They were going to do some advanced treatment.
They are. So there's also going to be a thing where they'll have like a drinking fountain that you can drink. Advanced purification.
You can go to the bathroom and then fill up with the same water.
You know,
Uncle Eddie's cough syrup or whatever that is. Fantastic.
Jared, what ails you?
Okay, well, we're if there's not any other comments and if we're okay with that, that's what we'll plan. And we'll close this meeting then and get ready for the next. Thanks for coming, guys. Thank you,
Beth. Thank you. Nancy, I have been watching that. That is the coolest note taker.
It is. Wow. Less pressure than a pain.
You're right, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kill over.
Like, I could have used one of those a long time ago.
Oh, I didn't pay for that.
Can you buy your refill and your drink before this next meeting?
It is nice.
What's up?
Another meeting.
So I was probably still doing that. I was in a training last week. I was in there doodling the whole thing. And I'm like, I need to.
Doodling helps.
Yes.
How many words are going to be transcribed?
Right?
Oh. Break my mouse tag?